Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the God.
Peace to the Lord.
Hey, yo, there go that brother Grand Poobah. I heard that brother got nauseous.
Yo, Drew and Jay, brother. Yo, let's have that brother come over and add on to the site.
Manifesting thoughts with my infinite size, making sure this travels 23 million miles. The other trick is at the crucifix, because the heart of the problem is this.
We're gonna go.
Preacher got my order, putting money in the pan for the rest of the week. Now I'm eating out of soup can. He has a home, drives a caddy to town. Has my old earth believing that it's coming from the ground. Slain of those who fought for what was right. Slain of those who fell victim to the fight. A drug controlled substance contained in a vial. Said about a devil. But I have knowledge of myself, you're not fooling me. You see, the answer to me is black unity, unification to help our bad situation. I wrote this on a day of wisdom, power, all being born of myself.
God.
I won't get the next brother to be paid if my trade is just a plan that is designed by the colored man. Now I'm baby is born to think this is the way of us. That's the way the devil wants it, so it is no fun.
It is no
it's
fun.
Just that sad old storm self-destruction to stop our reproduction. Then put our wisdom be. Why equip self, betray the meaning of transportation, saying that we receive more gold for my labor in his name.
We receive more gold.
God, now cipher. Time to drop the bomb and make the devil pay the piper.
True and deep, God. True and deep, God.
Fire.
True and deep, God. True and deep, God.
Fire.
True and deep, God. True and deep, God.
Fire.
True and deep, God. True and deep.
Lord Jamal, got our law. Derek X is on the flex.
Peace, kings and queens, brothers and sisters. Anybody join me yet? Yet or not, but Brother Kevin asked me to fill in. I'm Melvin. For those of you who don't know me, told me I could just kind of take charge of the show tonight, and I just wanted to jump on, I guess, and talk about a few things that are kind of on my mind, kind of, you know, things that kind of make me a little perturbed at times. But I know we just left out of the 4th of July holiday, and I've seen a lot of different posts on Facebook and talked to a few different people, you know, and I just don't know about any of these holidays anymore, because I'm to the point of where it's just when you become enlightened about who you are and what you are, it's just tales. I know this 4th of July holiday is one that, you know, when it was originated, we didn't have our freedom or independence. And if you ask me, today we still don't have that freedom or independence that we all long for, you know. And it's kind of upsetting. I know I posted a few things on my page concerning the holiday and celebrating it, and why would you celebrate it, especially the way we're being chopped down in the streets nowadays. It's just a hard pill to swallow, and it's a hard pill to keep swallowing, like I said, especially when you become conscious of self. I did not, because I wasn't at work. I never really buy the fireworks and get all into that 4th of July spirit. If you ask me, that is a violent holiday, you know, because it actually celebrates freedom and independence, but at the hands of losing lives, you know. And it's just that this country was built on that particular foundation of violence. And now, in 2017, it seems to be rearing its ugly head once again. I mean, it's just seemed like it's been a downhill spiral since the Trayvon Martin incident. I know that there were many other incidents before that particular incident, but that one was publicized, and it just seems like it's been escalating ever since. It's just hard for me to keep jumping on their bandwagon with the 4th of July, the Christmas holidays, just all these fairy tales that were created. I actually was on my page earlier today ranting about community and unity within the community. In my hometown, there's a lady, she's around my age, but she has taken it upon herself to basically feed the children in the neighborhood since the, you know, summer is in. She calls her little group the Little Fours, and fortunately, one of the churches in our town, and I'm not knocking religion, don't get me wrong, but I've just become more spiritual by reading about African spirituality. I wanted to know what and who we worshiped and how we worshiped, and from what I've been reading, Africans really did not have a religion. I heard a brother last night. I was watching a podcast, Michael Imhotep, and I just want to use his quote if I can, because it really summed it up. He said that Africans had spirituality, and spirituality is something that you're given. It's something that you're shown. And religion is something that you're taught. And to me, I mean, I actually was talking to my sister a few weeks ago, and I was explaining to her my basic thoughts about religion now. After finding out, you know, the whole Jesus story is basically a fairy tale, because they're in the Bible, it states, you know, actually the description of the man. But I was just telling her that it's just becoming harder and harder to deal with religion and religious people. And back to my story, because in my community, there are more churches than there's like a church on every block in our neighborhood. And this lady has been taking her own money. I actually donated some money to her just to help feed the kids. But there's a church right next door to the building that she rents, and so they took it on themselves to feed the community on Monday, I believe it was. And then they're going to do it again on the 20th. Community and unity. And like I say, I'm really not a religious person like I was taught to be growing up. I'm more spiritual now. But it just seems to me that sometimes these preachers are more into self-glorification, and then the followers seem to put more faith in that man than they do in the true word of the Most High. And my whole thing is, instead of trying to outdo her, which is what they were trying to do, why not help? And that's just something that is easily said, and it's just something that's so hard, it seems, to accomplish. I really was beside myself when she told me what was going on. And I totally side with her, because this is something that she's doing, like I say, out of her own pocket. And this is something that I feel like everybody should jump on board for, it, especially when it comes to our youth. We have to get more involved with them, because if we don't, a system that doesn't love them will take them in and treat them, unfairly. It's a situation out here right now that it's like church is just it's hard for me to understand how people can still follow what enslaved us. And that's my whole thinking on that particular situation now. If anybody has joined in, you can open up the mics. As far as religion goes, like I say, I'm just more spiritual now. And from what I've been reading, Africans were just more in tune with the earth. They were more in tune with nature. They were just more in tune with the Most High. I mean, and then you look at all the knowledge that he's given to us. I mean, every invention here is pretty much black invented, but white owned. Not trying to be derogatory, but it's just a fact. And that's really, I just wanted to speak on that for a moment, because, like I say, instead of us trying to outdo each other, it's time for us to come together on one accord and work together. I live in Texas, and I don't know if any of you all have heard about the Siobhan Randall incident. It was a 13-year-old girl who unfortunately got caught up in her parents or situations dealing with drugs. I have a real strong belief that when the time comes for us to really unite, when we really take our place on this earth and become what we were meant to be, there are a lot of friends that we're going to lose along the way. There are a lot of people that don't belong on the boat that will try to get on the boat. We're going to have to definitely stay on top of each other as far as that's concerned, because we definitely need to come together. But back to the Siobhan Randall incident, it was just really saddening because she was kidnapped and then found murdered in a vacant house here with another young gentleman. And it's just really disheartening when you're like me. I'm just really all about my people. I love my people. If there is anything that I am able to do, I will bend over backwards to try to do it to the best of my ability. And it's just really disheartening that we all can't get on that same page and turn this thing around. But I just want to say RIP to this young lady who unfortunately lost her life to some unfortunate circumstances. I was listening to Talk Radio this morning. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, brother. Melvin, how you doing? This is Brother
Ozzy.
Okay. I'm at work. I don't know how many people are on, but I need people, if you're not speaking, your mic might be open. Just mute your phone because we can hear a lot of noise in the background. Like somebody's banging on something or, you know, I'm not sure what it is. But, brother, to your point, definitely, I don't think that people realize how assimilated we've become to this country and the thoughts of this country and the way that this country thinks. And I think the sooner that we can get away from that, the better off we'll be. A lot of people don't realize today is Revolutionaries Day. And that's a day where we, as melanated people, we celebrate our revolutionaries, from Malcolm X to Marcus Garvey to Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, this is the day that we should be celebrating instead of Independence Day. I don't really get into it like I used to. And I don't down anybody for getting into these holidays, because to me it's just a day where you can spend the day with your family. And if you put that into perspective, you know, then you'll be all right. There's nothing wrong with going out and having a barbecue or getting together with family members. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
True.
But we have to keep in perspective, you know, while we're celebrating, whether it be 4th of July, Thanksgiving, or Christmas. You know, keep things in perspective. You know, I just would use it as a day to fellowship with my family and friends and leave it at that. You know, I don't have to beat somebody up because they want to support the 4th of July or whatever. We've all been
right
there, and we're all, you know,
right,
at different levels of waking up. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I let people live their lives the way they want to live them. But make sure that you're putting your energy into the things that matter. Independence
right
Day, to me, it doesn't matter because of
right
the evils that this country called the United States has done and is still doing. You know, so I'll be damned if I celebrate another Independence Day.
Right.
Until I see some real change going on. And, you know,
right,
as far as the rest of these holidays, they can go to hell with those, too. Because as far as, you know, having a special day for anybody, you know, every day to me is special. Every day I
right
can wake up and look at the sun is special. So it doesn't have to be no special day. you know. And that's just, you know, yeah, how that's how I'm carrying it, you know, from now on.
Right. And I can agree with that, Brother Ozzy. I really like what you said, because we have become more comfortable with, and I'll say, now I won't say more accepting, but I will just say we've become so comfortable now that we don't really show the type of concern that I feel we should show. You know, like I was saying earlier, there's a young lady back in my hometown who just took it upon herself to for the youth. She actually rented a building. My cousin donated a goal. They have a pool there, and she feeds them while they're there. And she also has different people come in and speak with them, you know. And I think that is something really positive, and it's something that our youth definitely need, just to learn who they are, because we are so much more than what we have learned and what we have been taught. And like you say, like I always say, back in the 60s and before, you know, we really needed each other. But now that you have an upper class, I'll say, of brothers and sisters, sometimes they forget about where they came from. You know, they forget about their roots. They will disown their own just to fit in with the ones that, you know, perpetuate all the nonsense that we put up with it on a daily basis. So I can definitely agree with how we have become so, you know, westernized, and like I say, just like we don't need each other, and we definitely need each other. And that's a point that, I mean, can't be expressed enough, how much we need each other as a people, because without us coming together, the same things that have been happening, I feel, will continue to happen. You know, there's power in numbers. So, you know, the more that we unite in numbers, we can get things done, not only in numbers, but economically as well. You know, because my thing is, we can have a new Black Wall Street with much more now than our brothers and sisters had in the past. I just feel like it's time to bring it together. And the question that everybody asks, you know, is how do we go about getting this national unity, not just community, not just at a state, but nationally? I feel like we have to all get on the same page, and then we can get some things done. I know how things were in the past, you know, and it's the same way. I was listening to the radio earlier, where there has been a lawsuit filed against the Black Lives Matter group. And it just seems like every time that we come together in numbers, we're always criminalized. You know, but we can't let that stop us, because that's what they want us to do. They want us to stop. You know, they don't want us to keep teaching. They don't want the truth to be known. So, you know, I just feel like there's a lot of work to do, and we haven't even really scratched the surface yet. So, I don't know, with that being said, I'll move on to another
I'm
subject.
Sorry, brother. I'm sorry. I'm
still
here.
Okay,
no,
yeah.
I'm still here. Okay. She can open up the mic to whoever else. If you want to speak, just press 1 on your phone. That'll put you in the host queue. We'll be able to open up your mic from there. Just remember to keep your mics muted. You're talking to Brother Melvin. And I'm Brother Ozzy. I'll be in and out. I'm at work, so I might cut off at any moment. This is the Panther Chat Open Rant. So definitely, Brother Melvin, thank you again for standing in for Brother Kevin. We appreciate that.
No problem. Anytime I can help, I'm always willing. Always willing. Is there any subject that anybody would like to mic in and bring to the table? We can discuss it, and It's just, you know, open rant. So does anybody that wants to add something to the conversation, just feel free to jump right on in. Now, I wanted to say something about the Kaepernick situation because I just feel like I'm a 49er fan, a diehard 49er fan. and I can really appreciate what that brother's doing because he let go of millions of dollars, you know, to take a stance for what is right in my eye, you know, for his people. And I feel like he should have he has my respect. I mean, I can't knock him. He's really right now the only person that I can see that has a large platform that's actually using his platform, you know, for the betterment and for, you know, for the knowledge of our people. Yeah, so my deal with that and how they blackballed them, like they do anyone who steps outside their box and exposes them, they you know, try to rid them. I give him all props. I think that what he's doing is very courageous because, I mean, he's putting his life on the line, basically, you know, to make his point. I agreed with his stance on the, on his kneeling protest. It was peaceful, but, you know, no matter how we do anything, it's going to always be deemed as the wrong thing to do. But we can't let that discourage us from doing what's right. And like I say, in the situation with Kaepernick, I just feel like this brother has went above and beyond his call, and he's actually doing things, I think, to make a difference, you know, because, like I say, there are not many people in his position that are willing to give up, you know, what he's given up. Now, I would go in on Trump, but I don't even like talking about Trump. It just makes me mad to say his name. As I actually refer to him as Donald Trump, but that's just me. But I'm still amazed that he won that election. But like
most
I say, that's Kaepernick.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
with the whole Kaepernick situation.
What?
Hey, Miss Tara, if you would, Sister Tara, if you would mute some of those phones. So we can get rid of some of that noise in the background. You know it's not me and you know it's not Melvin. Just mute everybody else. And you still there, Brother Melvin?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, as far as the Kaepernick situation, we know how white supremacy works, and when you're trying to open people's eyes and show them the wrongs of this country, they'll always come after you. And unfortunately, we don't have enough young men that are brave like Kaepernick and will put their livelihoods on the line. I don't think we actually realize how powerful we are. If every melanated player walked away from that game, what would they have?
Nothing.
Right.
That's right, brother.
Nothing.
That's right.
Now, you all don't want to see, you know, strong, opinionated black men. If they were to do this, you know, unfortunately, the money got them, so to speak.
Yeah. Right.
You know, money got them.
Right.
Money didn't get Kaepernick. He made enough money to where he's to the point where he can do what he does and not feel threatened by whatever they do.
Right.
As black people, if we were really about our work, none of us will watch the NFL this year. We will boycott
right.
it.
Right.
Until they, you know, give our brother a job. And I keep hearing, well, Cap, he's not the he's not the best quarterback, and he's, I'm like, man, stop repeating what their mouthpiece is saying.
Exactly.
Sound like an NFL
exactly.
mouthpiece. We've seen it happen before to black players that got blackballed.
Right. Now, that even goes back as far as with Doug Williams. When he won that Super Bowl that year, broke all those records.
Right.
And you didn't hear anything else out of that brother. Nothing
else. They
showed
him the door.
That's it.
They showed
him
the
door.
And, you know, for those teams of the Washington football team that were championship teams, you know, they did that to a lot of the black players.
Right.
That had gave their blood, sweat, and tears to that team.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's really hard to look at that. And, you know, I'm from D.C., so that was my team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did the same thing, you know, they did the same thing to RG3. So
yeah, they sure did.
You know, and now, you know, he's basically out of the league.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't even standing up. RG3 is what we would have called a coon.
Yeah, true.
You know, and he, I mean,
you're right.
And they still, you know, gave him a bad deal.
Yeah.
You know, Tyrod Taylor, we could go down the list.
Sure could, yeah.
You know,
you're right.
All these, Vince Young, he can't get a job now.
Right.
And we know he's better than half of these white boys that are out here playing.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
So, you know, it seems they have always been that way if you weren't a certain type. You know, even though I look at Jim Brown with a sweevy eye these days, back in the day, you know, he did stand up.
Yes, he did.
Jim Brown did stand up for the brothers and sisters. Now
right.
that he's, you know, meeting with President Tangerine, I ain't so sure
yes.
about it.
Yes,
you know,
yes. Me and Brother
you know,
Kevin had
so
a conversation.
Sure
yeah.
Right.
And that would,
right.
when
I'm
that
like,
happened,
what kind of...
that was so hard
ahead,
for me to believe because, I mean, I have always looked up to that brother because anytime it was something that wasn't right, Jim Brown was always there to speak against it, you know. And
yeah.
to have him meeting with Trump, that just, I'm like you, that took all the wind out. Just like, oh, no, they got one of the good ones, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got one of our strong, you know, speaking brothers, you know. And it happens. It happens. You know, I don't know what causes it to happen, but it does.
Yeah, I haven't thrown him out yet.
Right.
I haven't thrown him out yet, but I'm looking at him with a sweevy eye, though. You know, he's not on the coonish level as Steve Harvey is.
Oh, no.
He's in the running, though. He's in the running.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely got his ticket being punched for the coon train. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brother Steve, he's holding that number one slot down. I tell you, it's amazing what some of these brothers will do for a little bit of money. You know, they will, like,
well,
I mean,
he hasn't,
sell they
he
something,
hasn't learned
know?
From Bill Cosby. He hasn't learned from Bill Cosby. See,
oh my,
Bill Cosby,
yeah.
You know, he should be a cautionary tale for any black celebrity.
Yes.
He
That's
needs to
so
be a
true.
Cautionary tale. And my thing
That's
is that
true.
if you're for the people, be for the people.
Right.
I saw a documentary that Bill Cosby did back in the day. It was back in the
I
60s,
saw that.
And he was
yes,
talking
I
about how great Africa was and how great black uh-huh. people were. And I'm like, so what happened? I mean, what exactly happened?
Right.
You know, you surround yourself with white people, and then you basically you lose touch with your own people.
Right.
You know.
And see, go ahead.
It's a shame that when Arsenio Hall had his show, and he had Eddie Murphy out on the stage, and he had Richard Pryor out on the stage. Now, we know how powerful those two are.
Yes.
You know, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, who was missing? Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. Yep. Yep.
So
that
I'm
is
like
true.
That it was telling they were telling on him back then.
Yeah.
You know, they was telling on him back then. And you know, we can't look at these celebrities. You know, I'm really getting away from that. If you have the platform,
yeah.
I feel like you need to speak up like Brother Kaepernick is. If you have the
right.
platform, you need to speak on it.
Right.
You know, but
right.
if you don't speak on it, I'm not going to lose no sleep over it. Because we
right
got
on.
People down here in the grassroots that won't do anything either.
True.
We got True. People down here in the grassroots that will sit here and talk a good game. But like one of my brothers on Facebook did, he said, man, I work a minimum wage job and I set up a GoFundMe to go feed homeless people. And he said he fed about 400 homeless people doing that.
Wow. That's
so
beautiful.
When people start talking about doing stuff or asking these celebrities, well, what are you doing? You need to look in the mirror and ask yourself, what are you doing?
Right. That's right, brother. That's right.
You know,
because
no
like
doubt,
you say about,
is, go ahead, brother.
About Bill Cosby, I just wanted to, you know, I was listening. I was leaving New Mexico this morning listening. I like to listen to a lot of the news stations so I can stay up on really what's going on. But I heard them say that they're going to retry him on November the 6th.
For what?
So he's for the same crime. For the same crime. And I say it's a witch hunt because I was listening to a YouTube video that what's his name? I can't think of his name. Dick Gregory had done.
Uh-huh.
And he was speaking about Bill Cosby. And I didn't know that Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC.
Right.
From what Dick Gregory said, he was trying to buy him NBC, and I feel like, I mean, because we all know that if Bill Cosby wanted it, he had the money to buy it. But you can see, and I mean, I'll make it even plainer. Just like with Michael Jackson had gained like 50% ownership or so of Sony Records.
Oh, Michael Jackson was getting ready to buy Sony Records.
Exactly. Prince had got his masters back, you know, and you know Prince probably had a closet full of music he was getting ready to put out now, but now that he was going to be able to make all that money for himself, he's no longer with us, just like with Michael Jackson. And I feel like if they could get rid of Bill Cosby, he would not be here right now. But I feel like they can't get close enough to him. They can't get the right people close enough.
I think that they just want to embarrass Bill Cosby for daring to think that he could buy into their club called the Network Media. I think they want to embarrass him. And, you know, if I were the people for whichever jurisdiction is going after Bill Cosby, I would make sure that DA will be out of a job come November,
the next election,
DA will be out of a job. Because if you can take time out to keep retrying a man that was basically, you know, you don't have anything on, then goddamn it, you can keep trying these murderous cops that are out here shooting unarmed black people.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Now that's what's real. And if people don't get that, that some of these DAs and some of these juries, not some, all, because when was the last time we saw a cop convicted for killing an unarmed black man, woman, or child? When was the last time?
Never. I have seen
these juries. These juries are fixed. These juries are fixed. I need the people to know these juries are fixed because they pick the juries, people that look like you and me, to be on these juries. They pick people that are cop friendly, and that's how these cops are getting off, and that's how the system is washing their hands, because the system is saying, well, we put it in the hands of the people. and the people found him not guilty. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Because that's
just like.
We
need to be involved with every aspect.
Exactly. I actually, back in my hometown, I had started going to the city council meetings. But I kept hearing, you know, brothers complaining about this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, you know, I'm to the point now and at the age now where I'm really more about getting out there doing something as opposed to just talking about it, you know, because your actions are going to speak before your words even have a chance to come out of your mouth. You know what I mean? And my whole thing is just trying to stay positive, and it's hard to do, but we've got to try to maintain some type of sanity in this mixed up crazy world. It's just a sad situation out here. I was actually reading a news article a couple of days ago where the judge actually wrote a letter to the jurors in the Philando Castile case and gave them a pat on the back for the verdict. You know, so I think there were two blacks on that jury, if I'm not mistaken. The news that particular article said there were two people of African American descent, you know, that were on the jury, and the other 10 were you know, white. So I feel like, well, those two brothers or sisters or brother sister, whatever they may have been, were probably pressured into, you know, leaning into the not guilty verdict. But it's really a damn shame that a judge who you would think would have more respect for the system than to write such a, I mean, I can't remember the letter word for word, but more or less he just gave him a pat on the back for the verdict, you know, and for looking at the evidence that was presented to them is how he put it. And I'm just like, well, I'll be damned. But that's the world we live in. Like you say, you know, the system is fixed. It's definitely fixed. I mean, I was reading there are more black men incarcerated right now than there were enslaved in 1850. So that says a lot, you know.
Right.
It says a lot.
If anybody else wants to chime in, just press 1 on your phone, and it'll put you in the host queue. Your mic will be open. Just be aware of your background noise. Hey, brother, these juries are fixed, and these district attorneys, which are in most cases voted in by the people, you know, we need to start checking that. And I always say that the elections, the national election for president, that's the one I stay away from. But your local elections, where they make the laws at, that's where you
right.
need to be checking out. Who's in place?
Right.
You need to check out who's in place. Make sure that these people have your best interest at heart before you vote for them. If they don't have your best interest at heart, don't vote for them.
Right.
So, I mean, we're not holding these folks accountable.
Right. Yeah, because I would sit in on the city council meetings just to get a feel for what they do. And I'm to the point where I may actually run for a city council seat because we need someone in there who's going to do something, you know, for the people and not just the rich people. Because the little town that I come from, oh, it's a hot damn mess.
Right.
I tell you, it's a little country town in Texas. I'll say that. That's all I got to say, and you can probably picture the rest.
Right.
But, you know, I'll tell you the story that really woke me up. I was in ninth grade, and I was a smart guy, and my principal and counselors came to me. Well, they actually called me in the office one day, and they sat me down. They were like, Melvin, you know, you're a real smart kid, blah, blah, blah. So they wanted me to run for student body officer. At first, I wasn't going to do it. I talked to a couple of my homeboys, and they was like, yeah, Melvin, go on and do it, you know. So I did. And the particular Friday came up for us to hang our campaign posters throughout the school. I came back to school that Monday, and I mean, anything that you can think to say negative about a black person was on every poster I hung up. And I ripped them all off the wall. I went into the office. I went into the principal's office. I told him to get the counselors in here. I slammed them posters on the desk, and I told him, this is why I didn't want to do this shit in the first place. And I told him just like that. I said, because you'll never find out who done it. But that just opened my eyes to the reality, which living in Texas, being black, I knew that there was a racial divide, but experiencing it in that fashion made me mad, fight mad, but woke me up to the realities of this world, because I think about that now. I'm like, these same kids back in the ninth grade that did that are still in this society today, you know, and that's bred. Racism is not something that you're born into. Racism is a taught, you know, action. I've got a younger son. He's 9. And it's just so refreshing when you see them that young, when they don't know the difference between black and white, and, you know, they can play together, and, you know, but then as they grow older, well, you know, things change. And it's just, it's a damn shame that it has to be like that. But I was just talking to my son earlier before I called into the show, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm trying to do things to make it better for you and your kids. And my son, he's pretty sharp. He's pretty enlightened. And I talk to him a lot about who we are, you know, because I don't want him to get into fifth grade like I did and feel like all him and his ancestors were slaves.
Right.
I'll tell you another documentary series that really shined a light and opened up a lot of things that I didn't know, and that was the Hidden Color series, especially
right.
The first two, because they actually just dealt with how we traveled the globe and how we took medicine and mathematics and science, and they talked about the Dogon tribe and how they were able to see galaxies and knew about stars and stuff way out there before any telescopes and everything. And it talked about how the Western world was so amazed at how they were able to have that particular knowledge. And that's why I say, yes, I believe in it. I believe it's a God, because he gave us everything that we needed. But it's been taken, and it's time for us to take that shit back. Yeah, it's definitely time for us to get it back, because, I mean, if I just sit and think about it, you know, you look at the continent of Africa, and it is so minerally rich. You've got diamonds, coal, gold, and pretty much any mineral that you can think of is on that continent. And it's still being pillaged today. I mean, you've got countries over there that don't belong. And I really appreciate, I've read where some of the Mugabe, I think is his name, and he's trying to get them out of there. And I can really admire him for that, because they shouldn't be there in the first place. You know, God had everybody where he wanted them.
South Africa and Uganda are in the process of snatching back the farms that any white farmers have. They're not even giving them a choice at this point. They're saying, get out.
Right.
Get out.
And that's the way it should be.
You know,
that's the way it should be. That's the choice they gave us.
Yeah,
right.
we don't want you here in our country any longer. So
right.
Yeah, definitely, you know, even though it's taken a minute, it's taken a bit longer than a lot of us would like, I can see the tide changing.
Yes.
But we're still in the process. That continent is still in the process of being colonized by the United States and by China. So we have to be wary of that also.
Right, right. That's so true. So true. Because I know.
But yeah, you know, we could say that, you know, they're trying to gentrify the world, basically, by wanting to be everywhere where there's a piece of land on this planet where people existed before them. They've come in. We've seen how they bring disease with them. We've seen how they bring their Bible with them. And, you know, it is just... This is a time where this is the information age, so people are waking up to all the BS that's going on.
Right.
And
right.
They're not putting up with it. And that's why right now I would say that the system is desperate, because the more that people wake up, the more footing that they lose over
right.
the people. So
right.
definitely, you know, on these holidays or whatever, hey, go be with your family, enjoy your family, but look at these holidays from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't care what day that they're celebrating.
Right,
but,
right.
What we should be celebrating, we should be celebrating Juneteenth. We should
yes.
be celebrating Revolutionary's Day. You know, we should be celebrating Black August. You know, those
right.
are the days that melanated people need to be celebrating.
I can certainly agree.
We don't have to ask them. That's another thing. We don't have to ask them. You know, is it okay for us to celebrate? We need to just
right.
do it.
Right.
You know,
right.
we don't. That's the one thing that we got to get out of the habit of doing is asking permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
if you know, we look at the great Marcus Messiah Garvey, and we look at his organization and how he put it together. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have the benefit of social media.
Right.
You know, he had foot soldiers out there doing their thing.
Right.
And
I think
you can't
that...
take anything away from that.
No, because he accomplished a lot, and had he not been snitched out, I know we would have been in a better position than we are in today. Yeah, he definitely had a plan, and he put it into action, and it was working. But like you say, you know, I mean, it's sad because they tell us, you know, get out of here, go get your own. And then when we do that, what do? They come and tear it down.
Right.
Know? So, I mean, we can't win for losing. But like I was saying earlier, you know, about the Black Wall Street, I mean, we can have those types of cities and communities just like they did back then. And I feel like now, you know, it wouldn't be all that. Rioting and stuff, because I'm to the point where I know I'm not going to stand for it, and we as Black people now, like you say, are awakening, and there's just a lot of stuff now that we're not falling for that we were then. You know, and it angers me. I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw people, you know, in their 4th of July outfits, and I'm going to get off of it in a minute, but it's just funny how we can come together for everybody else's something except our own, you know.
Right. I mean, how many people know that yesterday was the anniversary of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street being bombed? That happened.
Probably
yesterday.
Not many. Yep.
That was the anniversary of that Black community being wiped off the earth.
Yep.
By its own country. By its own country.
Exactly. The first time that bombs were ever dropped in the United States of America was on that day.
Right.
On that day. And my son lived in Tulsa for about 2 or 3 years, and I tell you, I was on pins and needles. I was. But, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, like I say, we can have that same type of you know, community again, and I think now even bigger and better. But nowadays, it's like I always say, I was talking to my brother, and I say, black people are the most compassionate people, empathetic people, but that jealous strife in us, you know, it keeps us down. Because my stepdad, he's a barber, and he also sells clothes out of his beauty shop. And, you know, that's where I go and spend my money. I mean, when I lived in Dallas, I would try to go to the black-owned stores. When I lived in Killeen, I tried to go, you know, I would go and to the black-owned businesses and spend my money, because that was just the way I wanted to do it. But then I hear brothers and sisters like, oh, I'm not going to support him. He think he this and that. He better help him get no Cadillac or this and that. You know, we worry about what we're going to do with the money, you know. But I told a brother, because he was saying something like that the other day, and I said, you don't worry about what Michael Kors going to do with it. You don't worry about what Louis Vuitton going to do with it. And damn sure, when they get it, ain't none of it coming back to you, you know. And that's the whole thing, because I was reading where Jewish people's money passed through their hands like 30-something times before it leaves the community. Chinese people like 20-something times. Us, I think it was a matter of like some hours, you know. And that's, it's not a laughing matter. It's disheartening that we won't support each other, you know, because like I say, I'll buy me a suit from my stepdad and step out, and brothers will be like, oh, man, that's nice, that's clean, where you get that at? Right up at my stepdad, I don't have to go up by there. But it never happens, you know. But like I say, we're so quick to support anybody else except our own, you know, and we will never, ever get to the point of not needing until we start helping each other, you know. I actually want to get my own trucking business going, and, if you know, I'm going to knock on wood, because this time next year I'm hoping to be able to purchase my own truck and get my business started. Because I want to be able to show my son, hey, you don't have to go to work for nobody. I tell him now, you know, he tells me, oh, I need to get my license so I can drive with you. No, you need to find something that you like to do and make it a job, and then you can be the boss. You know, I want to distill that in him now, because I don't want him to feel like he's got to work for somebody the rest of his damn life just to survive. You know, when he can go out there, because my granddaddy used to tell me, don't ever be jealous of anybody, because anything that they have, you can get. And that's the way I look at it, because if I don't get it, I can't blame nobody but Mel. You know, it ain't nobody I can look and say, oh, it's, you know, no, it's my fault if I don't go out and accomplish what I need to accomplish, you know, to be a father, a husband, and take care of my family. You know, you can't blame that on nobody but fall short. And me, I'm always reaching, you know. I like to do different things. I like to write. And I say, if I could get my trucking business started to where I could sit at home, I'd do a lot more writing, you know. But those kind of things come in time. You have to take baby steps. You can't just start out on top, you know, and that's the problem with some of us. You know, we want to always be the top dog. Well, you got to start, you got to be a pup first. You know, you can't always be the top dog in everything you do, you know what I mean? And sometimes that holds us back, because we don't feel like we're doing enough, or we don't feel like we have enough, you know. And we have to get out of that mentality, because, you know, nothing is given. Everything that you get is earned, you know. So That's just my perspective on that. I mean, I have my granddaddy. He worked for one of the richest men in Sulphur Springs. So I had the privilege of actually getting to hang around money, you know, and see what it was like to be rich. And, yeah, I'd like to live that life one day if I can, you know. We all want to live that life where we can kind of just sit back, you know, and if you want to take a trip, go somewhere, you can just get up and go without worrying about being in debt, you know. We have to become smarter as consumers and not just be spenders, you know, because we spend big. We want the best of everything, but you can't take it with you.
Right. That's true, brother. That is definitely true. Definitely true. Did anybody else want to chime in on the conversation? Please feel free to. Anybody? You still there?
I'm still here, brother. It's silent on here tonight.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. Sister Tara, if you would, could you play one of the selections from the side menu? Play the Malcolm X, Dr. Francis Quest Wilson. That'll take about 5 minutes. Let us rest our voice, and our brother can come back after that.
Okay.
They realized all over the world where a dark man was being oppressed, he was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis, that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize here in America, we all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us airing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet, argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop airing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one, and then sit down and talk shop with each other. That's all you gotta do. These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. And you sitting around here like a knot on the wall saying I'm going to love these folks no matter how much they hate me. No, you need a revolution.
In the last 500 years, black people in this area of the world, we can say that there's no such thing as black culture. What there is what the system of racism, white supremacy programs black people to do. You see, in other words, if the system of racism, white supremacy says, you are not going to be scientist. You are not going to be highly functioning doctors and lawyers and teachers. You are not going to have stable family life. you are not going to respect sex. Now, your role is to entertain me so you can jump up and down and sing. You can dance. And, yes, you're good at sports. You can do that in some venues. That's what I'm going to allow you to do. I'm not going to allow you to have stable communities, because if you have a Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm going to burn that down. If you think you're going to stabilize a so-called middle-class community and you're going to have a home that's mortgaged, I'm going to see that those mortgages are foreclosed so that you can be into family dissolution, place of living dissolved. So what we can say is that we have an imposed culture under the power dynamics of racism, white supremacy. See, I can see right now in my mind the picture of Beyonce with her legs wide open at the Super Bowl for last year. It was so appalling to me, I can't get it out of my mind, in terms of what has been done to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we would be wiser. No, we are trying to get ourselves to the point where we can establish what we would then call black culture, where we will no longer be victims of a system of racism, white supremacy. So once the system of racism, white supremacy has been replaced with a system of justice, that's when we will start talking about our culture. That's when we will begin talking about who we really are as black people.
Okay, we're back.
Yes, I think I'm
reading.
No more questions, Officer John. God help
you. So we always say the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
We have brought to trial here Fred Hampton. You are here to judge between two conflicting testimonies. Somebody is lying. Now, reason stands. Reason is very clear here. That Private Jones, who had come from Sanford, North Carolina, would have no great desire to see Fred Hampton up in this trial. But Fred Hampton, a key figure in this community, has great reason for not wanting to be put in jail.
But the state's attorney and the state's attorney's office has reasons to see Fred Hampton in jail. We've got a new state's attorney, you see. And he said already what he thought about people that had different political beliefs than he had. His speeches sound somewhat like those of Hitler. And we know why he wants to see Fred Hampton put in jail. Why do I have a lot of arrests? Because of harassment. Why is that harassment? Because the people that harassed me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently. And they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me, because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people, and if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization who will be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not and badges or 18 uniforms. if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people. And what makes them mad about that? They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They had them caught up in their movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire best. We think you fight fire with water best. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight it with socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of us people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
And that's saying all power to the people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back, because this is lower, this is upper, this is the oppressed, this is the oppressor, this is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves. They say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies and I hate Indians. So we're fighting amongst each other. And you heard the testimony of pigs here, and you got pigs of all colors, you know that. You got pigs that are white, you got pigs that are black, you even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Hanrahan would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to keep you to believing that I'm your enemy, and that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Daley, and other than Tricky Dickie Nixon. If you make the right decision, then the oppressed people of the world get complete satisfaction. I know you return a verdict of not guilty. Thank you.
All right, we're back. If anybody wants to chime in, just press the 1 to open your mic. We will continue with our open rant night. I wasn't going to talk about Chump, but I just can't help it. I like talking about him anyways. But I just wanted to, I don't know, I get to go to a lot of different states, you know, driving trucks. I get to see a lot. And it's just something that I've noticed over the last few months that it just seems to be escalating. It's a type of arrogance among people. It's a bold now. The tension in the air is thick, but there is a boldness now with people. Even though we've got a president that is not the best man for the job, to me, he's incompetent to hold that position. I told my mom a couple of weeks ago, if Trump can run for president and win, I think I need to throw my hat in the ballot box and see what I can do. Because it's just a disgrace. I was talking to Brother Kevin the other day, and I was just expressing my feelings about it, and I was like, it's sad when you know leaders of the other countries are probably laughing at us on a daily basis. Because of the idiot of a president that we have now. It's saddening. Like I say, the racial tension that he brought back to the forefront is unbelievable. I chasing the other day with with a lady. Not really a confrontation, but, I mean, it's just simple respect. When you spend money and you hand a person your money, you expect them to hand it back to you. But she set it on the counter, and, well, I let her know that's not the way you do business. And I don't have anything on my hands, and if I hand you something, I expect it to be handed back, at least when I'm standing there with my hand out. But it's just like now there's a boldness that we've got a president, he's got our back, he's this and that. But I would like to talk to some of the people that voted for him just to see how they feel about him now, because I was listening to the news earlier, and it was, you know, they were talking about him at the meeting that was held with Poop today. I really wish I could have been a fly on the wall to sit in and listen to what was said at that particular meeting, because there's no doubt in my mind that, and now that it has actually been proven, there was no doubt in my mind even from the beginning. I didn't really need to wait on any special counsel to tell me that Russia had something to do with the elections. And not only that, I'm waiting for, what I'm really truly waiting for is the truth to really come out, where we will know that Trump was in collusion. Because to me it's evident that this fool is in collusion with them, because he's all about the money. You see, now we have one of the Ricky Leaks as a president. And to me, he's working for the rich and the elite. He is going to carry out their agenda at any cost. You can already see it with this health care plan. It's just like he's dead set on undoing everything that Obama did. Not that I agree with everything Obama did, but everything that he did wasn't bad. And to me, like I say, in order to, he doesn't even have a plan in place for replacing the Obamacare, but he wants to get rid of it. And then from what I was reading, well, I have a heart condition and high blood pressure, so, I mean, I'm going to be paying, hell, $1,000 a month just to, you know, see my doctor and medicine and stuff. And to me, it's like I read how this elite 1% is focused on depopulization. And to me, that's a real subject, because if you just take a look around at how this country, at least, does things, it's like they condone the violence, they condone the killing, because they're trying to depopulate this place. I actually was speaking, I was, you know, out rolling, and I stopped at a truck stop, and I struck up a conversation with an African lady. And she's actually been in the country, she said, for about a year and a half. She said she stayed in New York for 1 year, and she just said how disappointed she was in this country, because she said in Africa, America, the propaganda is, oh, this is the best place in the world, and this is where you want to be if you want to succeed. But all in the same breath, she said she was amazed at the homelessness. She also said that in her healthcare was actually free in their country. So I'm just kind of, you know, amazed at how people still spread the false propaganda about Africa. I'm actually going to try to save my money, and me and my sister actually were talking about taking our kids and our families over to Africa. I think that be something positive, just to go and experience the land that our ancestors came from, you know, and experience the land that the Most High gave to us. And it's kind of disappointing, like I say, speaking to her because she said, oh, Africa is nothing like what they show us over here on TV. So we have to be always mindful of who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the world's biggest liar, the world's biggest murderer, rapist, thief, you name it, they've done it. And it's, you know, like I say, it's angering. It's very upsetting. Just knowing all of the nonsense and the lies that they've gotten away with. I just feel like, you know, it's definitely time. If we don't make a stance now, we're gonna miss out on what's coming on the big picture, you know. So I just feel like, you know, we have to stay positive. We despite this system, you know, this system, as far as I'm concerned, has never been for us. So we definitely already have that in the back of our mind. So I mean, if we just continue to stay focused on our agenda and you know, just keep trying to wake up the masses, it's just something that has to be done, because no matter how long wrong is done, it won't last forever. Right will always trump wrong. Hell of a word to use then. But yeah, I just wanted to speak on that because, like I say, the racial tensions right now are at an all-time high. I've never seen it like this in my lifetime up until now. So it's just something new to me, and just kind of trying to roll with the punches and take everything and keep everything in mind, you know, be mindful of everything. If there's anybody that wants to chime in, be my guest, press 1, and jump into the conversation. Well, it is 7:30. I don't want to cut the show short, but I think I may be alone on here. All right, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, I'm going to call it a show. If there's anybody that wants to chime in, be my guest, y'all. You're welcome to press the 1 and express yourself. Brothers and sisters, yeah, I think I will call it a show. I enjoyed it, and I hope to be back on. And this is my first show. Hopefully it won't be my last. I'll have be a little more organized, have a few more topics the next time that I'm asked to host. And I'm hoping that there'll be a few more callers. This particular show was kind of, I was a little late putting it out there. But next time I will be more expedient. I'll be more about it and get the word out so that we can have a few people chime in. We can have us a good chat. Peace, blessings, and I love all you brothers and sisters. Y'all stay up. Peace.
Walk in the blood, yeah. I can see clear. Oh. another body drop. Somebody just got shot.